Hello, and welcome to another episode of GT Radio Conversations with Tina. Boy, I'm so excited about this episode tonight. We have an amazing woman and continues our series of Wonder Women of Gaming. And I talked to Kathy before the interview. We do these pre-interview calls, and it was just such a fascinating story. And Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. Now, you're a Res girl, and when you grew up, there wasn't much going on in the Res except a lot of hardship. Explain us the picture of the Seneca Indian Reservation at that time when you grew up.
Sure. You know, I grew up on the Cattaraugus Reservation. It's about an hour south of Buffalo, New York. And, you know, but it was a nice, simple life back in the, you know, 70s and 80s. But there wasn't a lot, there wasn't economic development. There weren't, you know, a lot of industry going on. We did have a bingo hall on the reservation that opened, I think, like in 1980. So at least we had started a business and there was a few gas stations. But really, you know, it was just small town America, you know, out in the country. There wasn't, you know, like I said, Buffalo's about an hour away, so we were kind of out of the off the beaten path. But it was, you know, a quiet, simple life, a small school we went to. So it was definitely different than it is today, that's for sure.
A lot of people that I've talked to that have grown up on the Res, they said that they kind of miss that lifestyle because there's a really sense of community and closeness, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think we've all heard the term is it takes a village. You know, and I think when I think of growing up, that's how it was. It really was a village. You know, it wasn't just your parents that looked out for you. It was the whole neighborhood. And if you, you know, if you were a kid and you got in trouble with one, well, you got in trouble with everybody. But you also got helped by an entire village. And I think that was very unique. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, you talk to friends when you move away or go to school, and they didn't have that. They didn't have that sense of belonging to an extended family where everyone was your auntie or uncle, whether they really were or weren't. And I think that helped prepare me to, you know, get out and spread my wings and make family wherever I went.
Now, life was rough because you grew up before gaming. Can you tell us a little about how rough it was?
Well, you know, I think before gaming, a lot of reservations had a rough time, you know. I just think it was, you know, way different. You know, we didn't have the resources for people to go to school and get funding for it, or having the health care benefits provided for you, or have the job training. You know, it really was a struggle for, you know, almost all, every Indian tribe, I think, prior to gaming or, you know, other economic development. So, you know, but we didn't know it was a struggle. That's how everyone lived. You know, my father was an iron worker, and you worked when there was work, but when there wasn't, you know, we just learned to live lean, I guess. But we didn't know any different because everyone went through the same thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like you said, it was your own world, and it was, you had a sense of family and community, and that was good enough.
Absolutely. You know, it was a great world. I think I always think back, you know, I didn't know that we didn't have a lot of money until I was probably in junior high or high school, you know, because it was a great life. I knew I was loved and it was close, and I had great family through school, but through church and the whole reservation it was a really, you know, while it was tough at times financially, it was still a really great life.
Now, you have an amazing story about education because you went to Cornell. And you're the first Native American woman to graduate from Cornell. Tell us how that all came about. How did the Cornell opportunity come about? And what was your experience there when you got there?
Sure. You know, I was afforded a tremendous opportunity. And I think that, but how it all happened, you know, you in your high school, you go to all those college nights at different, you know, where they try to get you to go to their school, kind of like a trade show, I guess, now. And I was speaking to a lady that she had graduated from the hotel school at Cornell, and she ran a catering business, and she told me what she did because like most 17-year-olds, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I just knew I either had to go to school, or my parents said if I didn't go to school, you had to go in the military. And I was not cut out for the military, so I knew I was going to school. And luckily, she told me this. Luckily, she told the lady told me what she did and how, what a great school Cornell was. And I said, okay, I can do that. And I was, you know, I applied, and fortunately, I had, you know, good grades and good test scores. And I went on my mandatory interview for Cornell, and it turned out, you know, I was given an acceptance. And, you know, from there, I think it was amazing. You know, my experience there was, I guess I would just say it's crazy. When you grow up in a small town, you know, it took three towns to make up our school, and I graduated with 87 kids. So there's 1,100 kids kindergarten through 12th grade. I get to Cornell, and there's 21,000 undergraduate students. You know, and I was like, wow. And there were 69 Native Americans in the whole campus. I mean, it was a huge change from a small school and a small community. But, you know, I found my home. There was an American Indian program there. They looked out for us. And then the hotel school itself is a small family. And I was very fortunate to get some advisors and teachers that really looked out for me and helped me adjust very well. But the experience at Cornell was great.
This comes up a lot in, you know, when we talk about leaving the res and spreading your wings and everything. Talk to us a little bit about how important that is and how important the education part of it is.
You know, I was very fortunate to have parents that had always told us, you know, go out, go get your education, get your training, and all of the knowledge and experience, because you can, then you can come home and help. Then you can come home and teach and or do whatever it is that you went to school for. And that's something that, you know, was instilled in us. And, you know, I was fortunate that it worked that way. You know, I went out and got the best education at the best hotel school in the world. And I went and got all this great experience so that I could go home and help run Seneca Gaming for, you know, work for them for 5 years. So it really was a kind of a dream come true, but it was something that was taught to us as we were growing up that you want to give back and it's important, just, but you have to go out and experience it. When I moved my first move across the country, I remember I wasn't so sure about it. And my dad said, you can do anything for a year, Kathy. And he says, just go. And I tell the story. He dropped me off at the Buffalo airport, didn't come in the airport, left at the front gate or the front door. He put my two suitcases on the curb. My younger sister was sitting in the back seat waving at me as they pulled away. And I was like, okay, I'm moving to Seattle. Here we go.
Wow.
You know, and
that's amazing.
It was the best 16 months I ever did, you know, but I think it is hard to leave home. It's hard to go a place where people don't look like you. They don't have the same customs as you. But the best part is you get to teach them that. You can always go home for a visit. Planes and trains will always get us home. But it's, you know, it's important to go and get new experiences.
Yeah, they encouraged that. That was pretty major. Tell me a little bit about going to Cornell and having to maintain the workload and the grade average to succeed, because obviously you had never – experienced that kind of level of education, and not many people have. Talk to me a little bit about that and what it takes to achieve the level of you know, education and to absorb all that and be successful in a university like that.
Sure. You know, I think I guess the best thing to say, my first semester I was overwhelmed. But again, I had a great small network of people that said, keep on going. You know, it takes someone, you know, when you do really good in high school, or maybe not even really good, when you do well in high school, sometimes you don't even know how to study properly, or you don't know because it just comes naturally or easy. So when I got to Cornell, which is this huge, tough university, I was like, ooh, I better learn how to study better. I better learn how to take better notes. And so, you know, you learn quickly what works and what doesn't. You know, I think once I got over the intimidation factor of who some of my classmates were or who their families were and realized, you know what, I'm here for the best opportunity. And I just learned and, you know, my grades definitely got better as the years went by. You know, my freshman year compared to my last semester, you know, they're night and day different as my confidence grew and my ability to learn differently. You know, I think it was a challenge, but life's a challenge. You know, I knew I had to put in the work. You know, I think I had an opportunity, though, to learn a lot. And I also had to work, you know, to keep myself there. That's a pretty expensive school. And at the time, you know, we didn't have funding through different, you know, tribal resources. So, you know, between loans and work study and great alumni giving a lot of money, but I still work 30 to 40 hours a week. So I just learned to manage my time and balance everything very well.
That's incredible. Now, here's the other incredible thing, because you have incredible after incredible going on. After you graduated from Cornell, you got a job with Wyndham Hotels when they were in their infancy, not like they are now, yeah. This huge conglomerate. And you went into the manager program. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us, you said you became the opener person. So tell us what happened after that. How did you get recruited?
Sure. So I was in my final semester at Cornell, kind of like every school. You know, all the companies come back to campus and recruit. And I was working at the front desk that evening, and when I met the woman that was doing the recruiting for Wyndham. And we just started talking, and she was checking in, and I knew I had had an interview with her set up for the following day. And we just talked, and I found it unique that she was a vice president and she was a woman. And back in the early 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s, that really wasn't very common. And I said, wow, if she's a vice president and she's a woman, I bet you that, you know, I'd already looked at the company. And I said, you know what, that's who I really want to work for if I get an interview or get an offer letter. And so throughout the whole interview process, I did receive an offer from them. And, you know, so I joined it. And they asked you when you started, what are the three cities you'd want to live in and the one city you don't want to? So I listed three cities on the East Coast, and I put Seattle as the city I didn't want to go to. And it was only because it was 3,500 miles away from my family. And I had no idea. I'd never been that far away from home. And that is where the woman that hired me, Mary, placed me. And I remember thinking, why would she place me in some place I said I didn't want to go? But I took the job. As I said, my dad said, go do it. And I said, you're right, I'm going to go do it. There must be a reason. So after a few months, Mary actually came to the property to do some training, and we're talking. And I asked, why in the world did you, you know, put me there? And she said, because that's where the best the woman general manager that I thought would best meet your needs. And
wow.
She was right. My learning experience that I had, my first two general managers within Wyndham were women, strong women. And they were very influential in my career. And it all started with her, you know, making me go outside of my comfort zone and putting me somewhere where I said no.
Now that was revolutionary at the time, right? Because most corporations didn't put women in powerful positions. They were very forward thinking. Is that correct?
Oh, they absolutely were. I think I joined to have joined Wyndham at the time when I did. It was just the perfect timing. You know, it was a small company growing, and it grew exponentially very fast, which allowed me to grow very fast. And, you know, become who I am. You know, I learned every department, and then I kind of made a niche where I would get moved to either open a new property, or maybe it was a Marriott one day and we're going to convert it to a Wyndham. I would go in and do all that and put the systems in place. And then once it was up and going, I'd move on to the next place. That kind of became my niche, and I loved it. I loved the excitement and the knowing that, you know, I'm leaving an imprint somewhere. And I was just afforded a tremendous opportunity with Wyndham that really formed my foundation.
Yeah, 14 years. And like you said, small when I joined and huge when I left. And I became the opener person and the problem solver. Now,
so it was a kind of opportunity.
There's an interesting fact though about the dress code, right?
Yeah,
They still
someone had
had,
talked about.
they weren't forward thinking in their dress code for women, correct?
They weren't, as much as everything was supported. And we had great programs like Women on Their Way and all these different great programs for women in business. But yet women weren't allowed to wear pants until 1996. And I'm like, how did that even happen?
That's amazing. That's incredible. I still laugh about that. You've told me that 3 or 4 times. I still laugh about it. Kathy, you're an extraordinary woman. What is your advice to women coming up in the business?
I think some of the advice I like to give is be true and be genuine to who you are, no matter what. You know, I think one of the things that I've utilized in my interviews, or you know, the few times I have interviewed, and as I've said, don't that line, you know, don't take my kindness for weakness. I will never not be kind. I will never not be who I am. But it also allows me to be a better listener and a better leader. So my advice is be true to who you are, because then you never have to wonder what you said or what you did. And persevere. If someone tells you no, whether it's because you're a woman or because whatever the reason is, doing what you do and learn everything you can, because at some point they can't keep saying no. You're going to prove to them that you can do it. And I think that perseverance is it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's an important thing, right? Perseverance is one of the most important things, right?
Absolutely it is. You know, we've all been told no, or we've all made mistakes, or we've all done something that we have to recover from. But we persevere through it, whether it's personal or in the workplace, you know. And I think that, you know, I've had some things in, you know, like when I was younger and I lost my parents, or at work when I made big mistakes or missed a deadline or whatever. Whatever it is, I had to go home and look at myself in the mirror and say, you're better than this. You got to persevere and make it better. And, you know, I did, and that's my best. You know what? Tomorrow's a new day, so you can't dwell on it, on what went wrong. You just got to fix it and move on. Persevere.
You said something to me that is pretty impactful. Adversity happens, but it's how you react to it.
Absolutely. The world is not perfect. The world is I guess in life, we all look at someone's life and say, they have such a perfect life, or it's so easy for them. Well, no, everyone has adversity. Everyone has things that they go through. The people that appear that it's perfect, they just know how to react better to it. They know how to put that smile on regardless. They know how to put that, you know what, it's still okay. I've still got my health. I've still got my family. I've still got all the great blessings of life. And I think those are the people that, you know, I always looked at and said, I'm going to be one of them. And every day I work to make sure that I am.
Kathy, what motivates you?
You know, a few things. I think the memory of my parents motivates me. I think it's probably the biggest. The second part is just, you know, my whole support system, whether they're my direct family, the best brothers and sisters I could ever have. But I want to make, you know, my aunts, I want to make my community proud of me. I want to make sure that I leave it a better place wherever I am. And I think that that's the motivator in me, is that I've got a lot to give, and that's my job in life, to give. And this motivates me. It excites me every day to get up and know that I'm going to make an impact on somebody in some way, and hopefully positively.
Yeah.
So motivates me, because if I can make if someone can at the end of, you know, end of the day say, you know, she's a really great person, she's a great leader, she just has a kind heart, then, you know, I've done the right thing that day.
What do you say to young Native women coming up through the ranks?
Say, you can do it. put in the time. Don't try to short circuit it. Don't, you know, you have to put in the time, and as they say, you know, pay your dues, because you have to understand the different facets of being a good leader, you know, and experience the highs and the lows and tough economic times and great economic times, because they each teach you things. So take that, everyone starting out now or growing in the industry has such a huge opportunity. Use the resources out there. And if you talk to anyone, I can't think of a single leader that would not sit down with anybody and try to help them and teach them. So use those resources, you know, and just know that, yeah, you're going to have all these resources, but you still got to do the time and do the work.
Now, after Wyndham, you returned home to Seneca after 20 years, right? To help them out.
I did.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, as Wyndham was getting sold and parts were sold off and it was changing, it was a perfect opportunity to, at home, we were, the casino in Niagara Falls had opened, and we were opening a hotel to go with it. And so I moved home to open that hotel. And I did that, worked through construction and did all that great stuff. And at the same time, you know, we have a casino on the reservation. We were building a hotel there. And then we opened a third casino in downtown Buffalo, which I got to be a part of. And, you know, I think it was a tremendous experience. I learned so much about gaming. I think one of the best parts, you know, is they recognized I was just a strong leader. I just had to learn some of the gaming side of it. But I was a great leader, so they wanted me to come back and help there. And I, you know, I made my, I definitely know that I did do that. I assisted, you know, the tribe I grew up with and was able to help the business a lot. It was amazing. You know, to open two hotels and two casinos was a wonderful experience. But then there were some things, there was some time where I recognized that I wasn't true to myself at a point in time. You know, I realized I was sitting in meetings before 40 hours before I talked to a guest or an employee. And that made me sad. That made me where I'd wake up and go, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do that anymore. So
yeah.
It was a very tough decision, but I made the decision where I took a sabbatical and I left. And I went and traveled.
Yeah, I was
and
just
I went
about
every...
I talked to you about that.
Yeah,
you took some
so
time
I,
off, right? Reinvented yourself. Tell us a little bit
I
about
did.
That.
Yeah, so I recognized I'd become someone who I didn't really like, and that then I wasn't going to be good to anybody if I became worse. So I took time off and I traveled. I went to baseball games and dance recitals and softball games to nieces and nephews that I had missed my entire career moving all over the country. I, you know, got to go to more family events and I became healthier and I recognized, okay, I'm good again. I'm back to who I am. I'm back to being Kathy and I'm ready to give back again. And then I went back to work, but I recognized
and
I
you
needed
landed,
that time to rejuvenate. I went to work for Hilton Hotel. Yeah.
And then the second day.
So on my second day, I had looked for a job for about 9 months. And I finally got a job and I was excited. And on day two, my phone rings and it was the CFO and the lawyer for a tribe in Michigan. And they called and said, hey, we're building a hotel. Your name and resume came across our desk from three separate areas. So we need you to come open our building for us, you know, build it and come. And I said, that is great. I'm honored. But I just started a new job yesterday. And I said, so I can't go anywhere. I said, I need to work here for, you know, 16 to 18 months is what I've committed. And they said, okay, well, okay. So they called me, you know, maybe every 6 months, 4 to 6 months, just to check in. And I started here in Michigan 16 months to the day of that phone call.
So you fulfilled your obligation.
I absolutely did. I wouldn't change it. I learned a tremendous deal. working for Hilton for that time.
Yeah.
It really is, and I learned a great deal, but I definitely learned that I definitely liked the tribal gaming. I liked that this environment, and I knew that I needed to go and do that and make my mark for myself here.
So when you got hired at Firekeepers, what was your position?
I joined as the Vice President of Hotel Operations.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing that. And then, I, of course, just me being me, I kind of take on opportunities or, you know, if a department needed a new home or a new leader, I would take them under my wing. And then there's just extra projects I took along we do in the community that were important to me as well as the tribe. And then I was fortunate enough that in 2017, the CEO position came open. And I wasn't sure, you know, I really loved being the vice president of hotel operations. I had come from being the GM of Seneca Gaming and being used to being, you know, in charge of the whole thing. And I was like, you know what, I really enjoyed the hotel side, and I'm just going to stay doing that. But I was provided a tremendous opportunity where my fellow vice presidents, all 10 of them, get together, and they said, no, we want you to apply for it. We need you to be our leader. Let's get someone from inside as opposed to out of the house. And so I did, and I interviewed, and there was a huge process. You know, they interviewed lots of people, and fortunately for me, and it was an easy transition into that position here. So I'm very glad I did apply, and I have the best team around, and they support me, and it's working out really well. So I'm really glad to have changed into the CEO 2 years ago. So it's a great thing.
Congratulations. What were some
Thank
of the
you.
Things that were very, very, you're welcome. What were some of the things that were very different, and how did life change in some aspects? Because I know it was very different when you became the CEO.
It is. You know, you think you're working in the same building. It's not going to be that different. I think, your time constraints are just, they're exponentially different. Instead of a couple hundred people that I knew very intimately, whether it's through working in food and beverage or the hotel or anywhere like that, so all of a sudden I've got, we've got 1,800 employees that I need to get a better handle on, which it multiplies the amount of meetings you go to. But at the same time, it also, I think the time adjustment was the biggest thing to get to know. Because I'd been in the building and I had worked and walked and worked on so many different projects, I knew people across the areas, and I had already worked at a casino and knew, what was entailed in it. It just was adapting to, this is my decision. I'm going to make it. I don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need to. This is my, it's my responsibility, so just run with it. But I think there was a lot of changes, but nothing insurmountable.
What were some of the most difficult things for you to get used to?
I think some of the I think because I always work to treat everyone the same, no matter who they are, what they do. I think one of the biggest things that I was maybe hard to adapt to was a few people treated me differently because of my new position.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to always react to that. Like, if you didn't have time to talk to me in the industry before, but now you do, I thought that was really weird.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, Yeah, of course. You weren't used to that.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm still Kathy George from Irving, New York. I don't require a lot of, I don't know, pomp and circumstance and stuff. And I think huge adjustment is sometimes I forget that, CEO is it's a bigger position. And I think sometimes I not downplay it, but, it's my job and I love it. But it's not who I am.
How do you feel about your accomplishments?
You know, I'm proud of what I've done. I have more to do. I can always get better, and I can do differently. But I'm proud of where I've come. That's it. I think I've achieved a lot of goals. I've exceeded any goal that I think I ever thought I had in my career. But I'm proud of what I've done and what I do as a leader and who I am as a person.
How do you see the future of our industry?
Oh, there's so much to grow. You know, I think a future of our industry, we have to adapt. We've changed so much over the years. But, you know, some of us still will hold on to, well, we used to do it this way. Well, times have changed a lot, and, you know, we're now adapting to sports betting, and we're all adapting to the potential of internet gaming, and how do we market to the next generation. And so I think it's exciting because we get to utilize technology to our benefit, and I think that that's the stuff that's going to keep our industry growing. You know, some people be like, it's all online, we don't need brick and mortar. We do. We're always going to need brick and mortar. Because we're entertainment. We're really in the entertainment business. And that's what we have to keep the focus on, and just adapting it to our new generations of gamers.
Do you see any red flags because of all the proliferation of gaming that's happened?
Well, sure. I think that there are, you know, just like every, you know, in any business, the pie is only so big. And I think we have to be cognizant of it and make sure that, you know, we don't oversaturate anymore some of the markets that are saturated. Because then we're not adding new jobs or more revenue. We're just dispersing it across more venues. And then people then get the bad taste in their mouth where they'll say, see, I told you nothing good was going to come of that. And, you know, we can't have that. So I think I think in each market is different, but we've got to look at that and say, hey, you know, I know everyone wants a piece of the pie, but it's just going to make the pieces smaller.
Now, because there's so much expansion, because there's so much proliferation, the employment pool is seems to be a lot harder out there. How do you overcome that?
You know, I think you overcome it by, well, it's difficult. I think employment across many industries is tough, but I think the hospitality industry is definitely very challenging. I think you become it by having the commitment. Like, we have the commitment from our ownership, the Nottawaseppe Huron Band of the Potawatomi are phenomenal owners of Fire Keepers, and they support all we do, but more importantly, they put the goal out that they wanted to be the employer of choice. And so that is our goal, is to make sure we are, and that's how we keep attracting and retaining our employees, by making sure we are the leader in the market in terms of benefits and pay and environment. And I think that's how we overcome it. Is it's not just all about that hourly wage, which, yes, has to be at the leader front, but more about the rest of the ancillary benefits that they get, and really treating them properly, treating them as they get the same WIA customer service that our guests get. And I think that is important to attracting more people. You know, as we're expanding, you know, we're starting to look for more staff. And, you know, yes, it'll be a challenge, but I'm very confident that we will be able to add in all the additional resources we need.
Should we take some calls?
Sure, that'd be great.
Okay, great. Hello, this is Chino Magnetta. You have a question for Kathy.
Yes. Hi, Tino. Hi, Kathy. Kathy, your story is inspirational, and Tino, your description of Kathy as Superwoman is definitely spot on. As a woman, especially a Native American woman, who has made it to the top, while most importantly staying true to yourself. So kudos to you, Kathy.
Thank you very much.
I have had the good fortune of working in the Seattle area many years back, and hope that when you're up there, you're able to enjoy the 45 days of perfect weather without any rain, all 45 days, right?
Excellent. It was wonderful there.
All 40. I got my question. Gaming has obviously helped the Native American landscape in a tremendous way, which is wonderful. However, how do you encourage the Native American world, so to speak, not to get overly dependent on the gaming / hospitality business? And the second part of that question is, what secondary business outside of gaming, hospitality, so shall we call it, might there be out there for the Native American world? It's hard for me to imagine anything that can be as impactful as hospitality and gaming, but what, you know, I've seen tribes go the route of tobacco, obviously mm-hmm. gas stations, but what's on the future of a secondary business outside of gaming and hospitality in the Native American world, do you think?
Sure. I think that the diversification of their economic development is, you know, it's so important. You know, I think some of the industries that, you know, I know some tribes are working at and successful that we need to continue to tap into is, you know, communication. You know, whether it's the satellites or whether it's, you know, whatever it is, the cell towers, there's so many different avenues. But communication, you know, is never going to go away. Everyone needs to communicate. So I think to get into that market is something that I think tribes can certainly do. As we continue to look at different energy sources, I think that that's something that tribes, you know, have been some tribes have been successful at diversification into. And I think more of us need to look into that. I also think maybe some of getting into the industries of maybe the people that manufacture the parts for our gaming stuff, you know, for the actual machinery and that kind of thing. If you get into manufacturing of some of those parts and pieces, well, you're going to be pretty, that business is going to take off. It's going to continue to grow.
Sure,
I think it's really looking at that type of market or looking at that type of industry.
Okay.
You know,
and I appreciate it.
Because we have to diversify. You know, we can't be solely reliant on, even though I think, you know, the hospitality field is the best field in the world, even I know we have to diversify.
Hotel's always more important than gaming, right?
I don't know. The entertainment business is important. How's that?
Well, I appreciate your time. And thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great questions. This is Tino Magnetta. Do you have a question for Kathy George?
Hey, Tino, it's Vince Manfredi. Kathy, I have enjoyed listening to you just immensely, and I'm particularly fascinated by your, you know, the way that you spoke about your quest to always be true to yourself and how that's guided you. I just think that's outstanding, and I think it probably relates to the way you manage. And in our business, I think nothing is more important than guest service.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can be proficient and you can deliver the dish in front of the guest correctly or deal the cards correctly or pay the jackpot, but if you don't have that smile, you don't have that genuine, you know, it's when you have that sort of culture in an organization, I think, where you really have opportunities to set yourself apart from competitors. And so I'm wondering, how do you manage the culture of fire keepers and making, you know, do you have a personal effort, you know, in the way that you manage the guest service development of your team?
Great. Vince, thank you for the great question. You know, yes.
A long one. Sorry about that.
No, it's great. Thank you. You know what? I take the customer service very seriously. You know, as I mentioned, the tribe, the Nottawaseppe Huron Band, really started with a great culture. So it was very easy for me to step in and just continue it and kind of take it to the next level. I think I am someone that you know, I mentioned one of the reasons I didn't like sitting in meetings and not talking to a guest or an employee all week, you know, and so I definitely get to do that here. I make sure that I am on that floor, I am in the back offices, I'm in the hotel every day because it gives me a pulse of what's going on. But if my staff sees me saying hello and remembering their names and learning something about them, they're going to do it with our guests. And that is what keeps them coming here to drive past casinos in Toledo or drive past casinos in Indiana to come here because of our people. Then, you know, I will meet at night, in the morning, on weekends, anytime, if that means I can spend more time giving the service to my employees.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So I was a little confused trying to back you out of the Hilton job in the 16 months and 1 hour and 15 seconds. Were you there when Bear Keepers actually opened, or did you come shortly thereafter, or what was your timeline?
The casino was open, and then I arrived during construction of the hotel project and the event center when we added in the restaurant and the hotel.
I see. I was actually at your opening of the casino. I was with IGT at the time, and we installed the system and did the system promotions and things like that together.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't meet you if you weren't there yet.
Nope. Well, Vince, that was 10 years ago in August. So come back.
God.
We'll be having a great August this year, celebrating our 10th year anniversary.
Oh, that's awesome. I just enjoyed listening to you talk so much. Thank you, and continued success to you.
Thank you so much, Vince.
All right, take care.
Thank you, Vince.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You bet.
Bye. Okay, great questions. See who else we got here. Hello, this is Tino Magnana. Do you have a question for Kathy George?
Aloha, Tina. How are you today? Good afternoon, Kathy. It's Michael.
Hi.
How's it going?
How are you, Michael?
Good, good. Hey, you know, Kathy, it has been a great story. I know everyone's been saying that each time they call in, but love to hear it, especially love the hotel and hospitality background and creating that culture. I think it's, you know, important thing that we've all been focusing on more and more these days, creating the right fit for everyone to want to join. You know, moving forward, as you look at your next 5 years and you look at, you already talked about expansion there at the property. Where do you see Fire Keepers, and how do you want to establish it in the market?
Yeah, you know, we've been very fortunate, you know, in the past 9.5 years to really make a name for ourselves. And we are expanding, you know, we're looking to break ground in June on an additional hotel tower and, you know, more meeting space and things. So I really think of CS as growing so that we can obviously bring more business and to Michigan. But I think to go further, you know, we do a lot in the community. You know, we're provided opportunities to give back to the community. So we have the whole community support to help us grow. So, you know, where exactly we're going to go after the first, you know, next few expansions, we're not sure. But it's all in support of making sure we support the tribe, the Nottawatepi here on Band of the Potawatomi, but the whole community. I don't have the specifics of exactly what our master plan is of, you know, are we opening X or Y next? But we're getting there. We're coming up with our strategic plans to do so. I think right now our next goal in the next 5 years is, you know, get these expansions opened and keep giving the great service so that we keep are able to give back to the tribe, but also the community.
That's fantastic. Yeah. How do you keep the culture keep the energy up in your culture? You know, how sometimes, you know, going into the same jobs, even though we all know it can be a different story every day, how do you keep that energy up with your teams?
Sure. You know, I think I'm fortunate. I have a phenomenal team. You know, I know in the casino industry, you know, a lot of vice presidents typically, you know, stay 2, 3, maybe 4 years. Well, you know, we have people that are here, or 7 of them have been here for 10 years, all 10 years. And at first you're like, well, is that going to get stale? Well, it's not. They're energized by the changes we're going through. They're, you know, they still have a lot to give back to the employees. So I think it's how we keep energized. I think you can tell I have a lot of energy myself. And I kind of keep that energy going. You know, I think people, you know, we have, again, we work for a phenomenal tribe, and everyone just really wants to do the right thing for them and the community, so it keeps us energized. And by being able to do these expansions or opening restaurants, or we, you know, we built and run a food kitchen, and we built greenhouses to provide food for schools, and we run fresh food initiatives every week. So I think there's so much excitement of my team that, you know, they really energize each other. So it does make my job a lot easier.
That's great. That's great. You know, you did mention one thing I just wanted to ask real quick. You talked about some of the opportunities you've had with mentors in your career. How do you identify that next generation, and what kind of structure do you provide to help them kind of find those mentors themselves?
Sure. Well, as a company, you know, we have a great training and track program, we call it. So as we do identify people coming in and saying, you know, they want to learn and they've demonstrated, you know, sound skills, there's a whole track training program for them to go through. And one part of it is they do pick a mentor somewhere, you know, from a director or a vice president or a CEO level, and we literally spend time with them as much or as little as they want, but at least monthly. But, like, I meet with one of mine every 2 weeks. And, you know, I think we encourage them to adapt, to ask their mentors of people that, you know, that are not in their department, because we want them to learn different skills than what they see every day. And so we're really just pushing that, I think. And then from the personal level, I get calls from, you know, people, younger people just starting out, whether it's through the alumni association, you know, they reach out, and I will always mentor people. And I think it's important as leaders that we all do that. We all have extra time. We don't think we have time some days. We all have 30 minutes to sit down and talk to someone and show them how to read a P&L or just big leadership stuff and just talk to them. And I think that I encourage it, and I lead by example, so my team does it as well. I think I've probably pushed some people outside of their comfort zone doing it, but at the end, I think they're all thankful that they were given that opportunity to do it.
Great, great answers. Hey, thank you for the time. I appreciate it, and continued success to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Have a good evening.
Aloha.
Aloha. Great guy. He's
aloha.
Old friend, and aloha. Yep, he's Hawaiian. We call him Hawaiian Mike. And Yes, and he goes way back to the Flamingo days when I started my career and my business partner. So he's an old friend and a great guy. Yeah, hang on one sec. All right. Hello, this is Tino. Do you have a question for Kathy George?
Tino, good evening. This is Heidi and Tisana. How are you tonight?
How are you,
and Kathy?
Wonderful,
I am wonderful.
Thank you. Good.
Kathy, I recently had a couple of your ladies from Firekeepers and Niger in one of my sessions, and I met the wonderful Rachel Hayes, and they all had such great things to say about you, so I'm really glad I get to speak to you this evening.
Well, thank you so much. I know they enjoyed their entire experience, but they did speak about your class, your session, so thank you.
Thank you. So I have an idea for diversification for your tribe. I think they should manufacture a vitamin pill called Kathy George.
That would be a huge success. I'd buy it.
Absolutely. I would love to take that pill because you have infinite knowledge and it seems like a lot of energy. And Tina referred as you being incredible after incredible, but I certainly believe that you made those incredible opportunities come your way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to start, Kathy, by asking you, what are some of the typical mistakes, maybe you could just give me one or two, that you have seen women make moving up the leadership ladder in gaming?
Sure. I think, when you start out and you, sometimes I think in the past women felt that they need to be, really mean or really tough. They come across that way because they thought they needed to compete that way.
Right.
And I think that's not a good thing, because being kind doesn't, like I said, does not make you weak. And I think that that's a mistake some people make, is that they try to change one component of who they are, and then it's not natural. That's not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is, that whole balance in life. And people say they can't have a balance, and they can't have a family, and they can't do work all at the same time. Well, you know what? Can't is just a limitation we put on ourselves. And you can do all of it. You just got to balance it differently and make decisions at the time that's appropriate for you. You know, we can't compare ourselves to others. We have to compare ourselves to what we were yesterday. And I think that that's a mistake sometimes we make. As leaders.
I love that. I love it. And I love the, you come across as a very kind of, and you have this peaceful energy about you. I can't ever imagine you losing your cool in business.
It happens, but not often.
So I'm also writing an article around, that will become a presentation, called Three Things That Successful Gaming Leaders Do Every Day. And you have worked with such amazing people in the industry as well. Can you share one or two things that you do every day, or you've seen really successful top gaming leaders do?
Yep.
Consistently, that's what I mean, consistently.
Sure. I think consistently communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I think would be key. Whether it's communicating our goals and objectives and making sure our plans are in order, or really is it just communicating? Like I said, it gets me going when I get to communicate with employees and guests every day. So I really make sure I walk that floor and I go through the offices no matter what, because that's important to the business. That's important to me personally. So I think communication,
right,
if I would say, that's something you have to do every day in every direction.
Right. And, I've tracked on LinkedIn your career path, and I was very interested to know that between when you went from CEO to GM, and you said there were so many people competing for that position that they interviewed, what do you think they saw in you that made you get that position?
I think because I had been on property for the 5 years prior, I think I had already demonstrated that I was a great leader, and there was a comfort level with how I managed, and they knew that I would continue that. They knew I would always be true to me, and I think that they liked that. They knew that my staff would react well to it, since they heard from my fellow VPs. So I think it was just a natural fit. I think, like I said, I'm very fortunate to walk into a position that the casino was doing well, and and I just got to step in, tweak a couple things, and make it a little better.
Absolutely. And I believe like you mentioned before, your perseverance and probably your consistency as well.
Absolutely.
Did it for you. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Kathy, thank you so much for enjoying, and I'm hoping to speak in person very soon. And thank you, Tino.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Have a good evening. Thank you so much. Okay, great. Some great questions. Great questions.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Hello, this is Tino Magnetta from GT Radio. Do you have a question for Kathy George? Hello?
Yes.
Hello, do you have a question for Kathy George?
Hi, can you
hear us? Kristen Shireen, how are you?
Hi, good. Hi, Kathy. We worked with you for the campaign for the hotel grand opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello.
So we have, Shree, who you met, and myself always, but you know, one of our biggest questions is, you know, we've worked for hundreds of organizations, you know, 70 tribes now, but how do you recalibrate, I guess, to reset yourself and keep building your career like you're doing?
I guess it's kind of what do you do in your spare time?
I was going to say, how I recalibrate is I definitely, I say I can squeeze more into 2 days off than most people can. I definitely utilize my time off. I love to travel and see my family, and, you know, moving 15 times in my career, I always have a city to go visit people I'm friends with and see them. But I'm a big sports fan, so I go to events a lot. But I also read. I take a lot of time for myself to, you know, to read and just do some downtime stuff for me. I do water aerobics at the Y, and one lady says, she goes, "You're very quiet. You don't ever speak." And I'm like, "I talk all day. I'm good." I think
that's awesome. Thank you. That's so important.
It's a good balance. You know, I've learned, as we all do at different times in our career, to develop a balance. And I have a close-knit circle of friends that I rely on, and, you know, I'm there for them. And I think I recalibrate and regroup, and, hey, we all need our time. You know, I'm the first person, you know, when a report comes out and says people are approaching their max number of PTO hours, before and they start losing them, I'm like, don't ever do that. You know, so I think that's important to regroup, you know, and because if I'm not energized, then my team won't be. So I make sure I take that time. And then, you know, I also, as you said, like to continue my career, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities to learn, attend conferences. You know, it's obviously why we go to G2E and NIGA, but I went back to Cornell for a conference last 2 months ago, and so it's just a part of all of our learning and seeing how, you know, what we can learn next.
That's great. Thank you for that feedback.
And thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
All right. You too.
Great questions. Hello, this is Tino Magnati. Do you have a question for Kathy George?
Yes. Good evening, Kathy. I have a long career in the music industry and producing shows and booking entertainment. And to change the subject a bit, I am knocked out with your spirit and your heart. And I think you touched on it earlier. I think your family obviously was amazing. And you mentioned the word love early on, and you took that love and security that developed the confidence to go and achieve amazing things. Do you share your history, career history, with new staff at all on orientation, or do they know that you came in and you worked your heart to become what you are?
Yes. I'm provided a great opportunity. We do speak to new hire orientation every other week. And then we also do that track program I mentioned earlier, training program. And each week a different department speaks on what we do and how we got to where we did, et cetera. And it shows them, so jobs, if they ever wanted to transfer, what they can do. And I start out the series every year, every time we do it. And so I share with them my background and how I got to where I am, because it's important for them to get to know me as a person in addition to just their leader.
Very, very inspirational. And it hit me more probably today than it would have any time, because last week I was driving with a young man who has been my little brother from Big Brothers for 11 years. And he's washing dishes at a restaurant. And I said to him, I think let's move you to the next level. Why would you not want to go and apply for a next position someplace so we can get you in a path to bigger and better things? And after a minute of silence, he turned to me and he said, I don't want to go. I don't want to fail.
Right.
And I said, let's just talk 1 minute about, and I'm in Wisconsin. Let's talk about
okay.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers gets
yeah.
paid huge money, runs on a football field, and doesn't make every pass a completed pass. He fails more than he wins.
Right.
But the experience is priceless. And your experience and upbringing literally emotionally affected me, because I just think it's so awesome for you to be able to have the history, the past, and the eyes and energy to see the opportunities and then to achieve. So thrilled to get through and talk to you. And I know we're probably running out of time here, so I probably should get off. But thank you so much for being here tonight.
Well, thank you so much. And I hope he moves on up to his next position quickly.
Well, I'm going to send him over to you, and then he'll become a manager.
Rock on. Let's go.
Don't be surprised.
Let's do it.
Yeah, he knocks on your door one day. I'm here to be the boss.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Well, Kathy, we've run out of time, but I'll tell you, it's been just an amazing show, and I really appreciate you coming on, and I'll definitely want you to come back on, and we'll probably team you up with someone else, but I'm just really glad that you came on, and it's been an incredible experience for me.
Well, and it's incredible for me, and thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Sounds good. You have a great evening.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a great show. And such a great person. He's done so much and gone so far. And it's really a great story. Monday, I have Ray Pinot, CEO and GM of Mohican Sun out east. And he's got a pretty fascinating story, too. And you know what I say. Everybody's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. Everybody have a good night and God bless. I'll see you Monday.